Soja. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. While you're turning, I'm going to take a sip of water. This church has been kind to me, and I appreciate it and think of it often. There are certain churches that have been a blessing, and this is one of them, and God will reward you. That said, I want to apologize for Brother Jerry. He said, "Set by me, I'll keep you awake," during the first two services, and he totally failed. But I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's for 10 years, and when I preach, a couple hours before I preach, I have to take a larger dose of medicine than usual. And I didn't get everything out of the first two sermons, but I were blessed by both of them. But I do have that trouble getting sleepy. I came home from Wisconsin. I'd knocked the mirror off my truck, and my wife said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "I don't know. I was asleep." But they worry about me, and I tell them I want to die like my uncle. He died in his sleep. I certainly don't want to be like the other three guys in the car. Now, all that's foolishness to get you awake. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." I'll not try to go into the context, as we have enough to say, just expounding the text. But he says that with open face or unveiled face, we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In particular, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do that, we are changed into the same image, or changed in the image of Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to notice that our glory is not in what we have, but in who we are. They are only stars who shine in heaven. You may shine in Hollywood, that doesn't make you a star. But it's those that shine in heaven, and our glory is to be like Christ. Now you think of the human race. Man's original glory was to be like God. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." But when man fell, the image of God was defaced. In fact, Jesus said to the wicked, "You're of your father the devil." And what he meant like that is you're like the devil. You are followers of him. In salvation, we are restored in Christ, or the image of God is restored in us. Think of Colossians 3:10. It says we're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us. And so, to be like Christ is the goal of salvation. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Romans 8:29 says that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. 1 Corinthians 15:49 says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly." He's talking about Adam. As we've borne the image of the earthy Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly Adam. We might say that Jesus became like us, that we might become like Him. He became the Son of Man, that we might become sons of God. But this is a process. You notice again our text, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." The Greek word translated changed is metamorphosis. You're familiar with that word. We speak of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly in that way. But we're changed from glory to glory. It is not something that happens instantaneously, but it is a process. I want to think about the glories that we experience. And it's wonderful to talk about that. You know, I have a dear Christian brother in our church, and he talks about retirement. He always says, they say these are the golden years. And he doesn't think much of that idea. But what is it that we as Christians have to face? Well, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Isn't that a wonderful future? Glory to glory. And I think of what the Bible says, the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Our sun does not set. Our sun rises to high noon, and then it stays there forever. What are these glories that we experience as we're changed in the image of the Lord? First of all, I think of the experience of regeneration or the new birth. This is the first work of God in making us like Christ. Before we're born again, we're just in Adam and like Adam, and we bear His image. If you read Genesis chapter 3, what happened when man sinned, you have a profound view of what men are like. All men are like that. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about the new birth, the word must is used twice. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But there's another must. You must be born again. It takes the work of Christ and then the work of the Spirit applying the work of Christ to us to save us. And so we must be born again. You'll never be in heaven unless you're born again. Somebody asked John Wesley, they said, why are you always preaching on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. If you go out of this world, the same person that you came into this world, you'll go to hell. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this salvation of Christ is so profound that we can only describe the change that takes place as a new birth. You know, we look at people's children, oh, I see their daddy in them. Well, people better see our Heavenly Father in us. And we must be born again. And that is the first glory that we experience as we are created and changed in the image of Christ. Now, I think the second glory that we can speak of is sanctification. Sanctification is the growth and strengthening of that which is begun in the new birth. As Paul said to the Philippians, being confident of this one thing, that he that has begun a good work and you will perform it unto Jesus Christ. The Bible says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter commanded that. To grow in grace means to grow in the Christian graces, that which God's grace has performed and done in us. When we're born again, God changes us and He gives us a new heart and a new way of thinking and a new way of seeing things. But we must grow in grace. And then we must grow in knowledge. We cannot separate those things. You know, to be a follower of Christ is to be a student of the Scriptures, to learn more about the will of God. And so we're to grow in grace and in knowledge. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Sanctification is an adding to that which is begun in the new birth. Listen again to Peter. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So we need to be constantly growing. I told a preacher yesterday, the day before, I said, I heard you preach, and what wonderful growth. Well, all of us ought to want to be better Christians this year than we were last year. And this is part of the glory. We're changed from glory to glory, even as into the image of the Lord. And then the third and the last glory is the glory of glorification. The scripture says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body." One day, not only will the spirit be changed, but these bodies will be changed in the image of Christ. He said, our vile body, it'll be changed and fashioned in the image of His, or Christ's, glorious body. Paul said the same thing in the resurrection chapter. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." In the heart of every Christian there is this ache, this desire to be completely like Christ, to be able to put off this body of sin and death, and to put on the incorruptible and immortal body. And we don't mean to imply that it's different bodies, but a changed body. This body changed in the resurrection and in the renewal that takes place when Christ comes. Now, I want you to notice the agent of this change. We're changed in the image of Christ, but who is it that changes us? Well, it says in our text, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so it is the Holy Spirit that makes these changes. Jesus spoke of the new birth as being born of the Spirit and of the water. Titus 3:5 says, "Who has saved us, who has called..." Let me just turn there. I'm not going to butcher that text. I was trying to quote the wrong one, is what I was doing. Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And so, who is it that causes us to be born again? It's the Holy Spirit. That's His work in applying the fruit of Christ's death to us. And then, the Spirit of God works in the second glory, that is sanctification. Everything good in a Christian is called what? A fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, sanctification of the Spirit, through sanctification of the Spirit. And so it is the Holy Spirit that causes us to grow, who works in our heart. I came out this morning and come here and my mailbox was smashed all to pieces. And it wasn't hit by a car. Somebody just did that. And this kind of is an ongoing thing. Well, the first thing is you want to get mad and to think angry thoughts. But you know, who is it that speaks to our heart? He said, now this is not what Christ said. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those that speak evil of you, or bless those that curse you. And so it's the Spirit of God that works in our heart. But it's the Spirit of God who works in us even in glorification. The Bible says, not to grieve the Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In Romans 8:11 it says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit of God that dwells in me is a seal whereby I am kept until the day of redemption. And when Christ comes, it'll be the work of the Holy Spirit to transform this body as I go out to meet Him. Well, those are wonderful truths. But I've come now, and I've done it rather hurriedly, to the activity of the changed. As we're changed from glory to glory into the image of the Lord, what is it that we're doing? What is it that goes on in our heart? What is the activity of those that are changed? Well, let's read the text again and see. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What is it we do as the Spirit of God is working in us? What is it that we do as we're being changed into the image of the Lord from glory to glory? Well, Paul says, beholding. That's what we do. We behold Christ. I'd like to use the illustration of a camera. Cameras have always been mysterious to me. TVs are mysterious to me. I don't know how you get that picture. They say the picture tube, whatever this is in the back, shoots out whatever it shoots out and hits whatever it hits. And I hope you understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand a camera. I'm told that there's chemicals on paper in the back of the camera. That would be the old camera. Don't even ask me what these digital cameras do. But the shutter opens, the light comes in, hits those chemicals. There's a chemical reaction that takes place, and there's your face. Have no idea how that works. But at any rate, speaking of what takes place as we're changed from glory to glory, in regeneration, we behold Christ as He is revealed in the gospel. Paul said that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. As we behold Christ, just as the shutter opens and the light comes into a camera and the image is formed, so as we behold Christ, we're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Now, in regeneration, we behold Christ as He is revealed in the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we obtain this glory of Christ? We behold Christ. We see Him in the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in conversion, we see Christ. We look to Christ. As it says in Isaiah, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Let me ask this question. Have you ever seen Christ? Now, I went to Alabama last week to take my wife to see her parents, who were both in poor health. We went to church with her parents because that pleased her mother so much. And I didn't know if she'd ever see her mother alive again. Well, I don't mean this just to be picky, but we went into the church. It wasn't unaffiliated church. It was a Southern Baptist church. There were more pictures of Jesus in the auditorium than there were people. Every window had a picture of Jesus. I don't mean to be critical, but I don't care for that at all. And here's why. We don't go to church to see Christ in the window. We go to church to see Christ in the gospel. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, before whom Christ has evidently been set forth and crucified. How was Christ set forth before them? In the preaching of the gospel. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. And so, as the gospel is preached, we see Christ through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we look to Him as Savior. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones told a story of an old man. He was a peat digger in one of the European countries, and he'd go to church every Sunday like people did back then, but he'd fall asleep, sleep through every sermon. He was approaching 100 years old, never been saved, hadn't heard a sermon for years, slept through every sermon. And they were beginning to despair of him ever being saved because his mind was beginning to go and dementia was beginning to set in. Well, as he neared 100, something happened. The first thing they noticed, he was staying awake in church. He seemed to be listening. Sometimes a tear was seen in his eye. One day he walked by the preacher and he said, the preacher said, "What's happened?" He said, "I saw one altogether lovely." He said, "How did you see him?" He said, "I saw him in the sermon. I saw him in the sermon." Jonathan Edwards talked about the nature of the revelation, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's not an objective knowledge. You know, there's unsaved people that are smarter than we are. There's unsaved people that have memorized the whole Bible. There's unsaved people that could lecture on theology and do. But the knowledge that God gives His people is a sense of the reality and the worth of spiritual things. I could, before I was saved, I could tell you that hell was hot. But when I came under conviction, I knew it was hot. Before I was saved, I could have said, "Oh yes, Christ is wonderful." But after I was saved, I felt that He was wonderful. And so, in regeneration, we behold Christ as He is revealed in the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of our salvation. And I ask you this. I don't ask you if you've heard the gospel. But I do ask you, have you ever really heard it? Have you ever really seen Christ as He's presented in the gospel? When you think of Christ, you think of a nice-looking man with long hair and a robe and maybe blue and wine color in the robe? Or do you think of the Christ of Scripture, the Christ revealed in the gospel? And then, in the second glory, sanctification, we behold Christ as He is revealed in the Bible. As lost sinners, when we first behold Christ, we behold Him as He's presented to us in the gospel, which is God's message to the lost. But as Christians who are growing in grace and knowledge, we grow as we behold Christ as He's revealed in the Bible. Now, when I came out this morning, I saw my mailbox smashed. The natural propensity of man is to grow angry and to want revenge. But we're to be like Christ. And He blessed those that cursed Him. And He didn't threaten those that threatened Him. And what was it that kept me from giving way to anger and maybe going over and knocking their mailbox down? It's the Christ as He's presented in Scripture. I read the words of Christ, "Love your enemies." And so in sanctification we behold Christ as He is revealed in Scripture. Philippians 2:5, talking about humility, says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You know, that's as far as you're obligated to follow the preacher. As long as he's following Christ, you follow him. If he stops following Christ, you don't have to follow the preacher anymore. But sanctification occurs as we behold Christ revealed in the Bible. And something to consider. When you get up in the morning, I hope you have the practice of reading the Scriptures. And as you read the Scriptures, you ought to say, "Lord, help me to see Your Son. I'm to be like Him." And as you see Christ revealed in the Bible, you become more like Him. And then glorification. In glorification, we see Christ as He is revealed in glory. Listen to the words of John. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Why? "For we shall see Him as He is." And so, one day we'll see Christ with these eyes, and will be created in His image perfectly as the body is changed. Coming back now to the illustration of the camera. To make a camera work, or at least an old-fashioned camera, you had to have chemicals that were prepared. This we could take to represent the preparation of the heart. You know, the Bible says about Lydia in Acts 16, whose heart the Lord opened that she intended unto the things that were spoken. So the Spirit prepares our heart just as the photographer prepares the chemicals. And then the Spirit of God opens the shutter and He lets the light in. And the image of Christ is imprinted on the soul in the new birth. The light shines into the heart. In regeneration, it's the light of the gospel. In sanctification, it's the light of the Scripture. In glorification, it's the light of glory. The chemicals prepare the heart. In regeneration, the Spirit of God produces faith for the reception of the gospel. In sanctification, the Holy Spirit produces love that we might grow in grace and knowledge and love the Savior and want to be like Him. In glorification, He prepares us to see Christ in person. Many cameras use a flash to give light to the object that's being photographed. And as the image becomes clear because of the light, the likeness becomes more perfect. And just as in regeneration we see Christ in the gospel, then in sanctification we see Christ in the Scripture, in glorification we see Christ in person. And as we see Him as He is, we become like Him. We might consider this, that as we spiritually behold the Lord, as in regeneration and sanctification, we become like Him spiritually. But one day we'll see Him with these physical eyes. And as we see Him with these physical eyes, we'll become like Him physically. Well, let me conclude by making this application. A man that died shortly before I was born was Hank Williams. He was a famous country singer. And he wrote a song, "I Saw the Light." You probably heard it, haven't you? "I saw the light, no more in darkness, no more in night. When Jesus came like a stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light." I don't know that this is true. Somebody said that Hank Williams was riding in the back seat of the car and that song came on the radio and he said, "There is no light. There is no light." Well, there's no evidence that Hank Williams ever saw the light. I'm not the judge of what took place in his heart. But as you know, he died in a way that would certainly indicate that he didn't know the Lord. That he'd never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you, have you ever seen the light? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You say, why would you say that there's no evidence that Hank Williams ever saw Christ? Because if you ever see Christ, you become like Him. And if a person's not like Christ, there's no evidence that they've ever seen Christ. When we see Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel, we're born again. When we, as Christians, view Christ as revealed in the Scripture, we grow and we're sanctified. And one day, when we see Christ face to face, we'll be like Him, spiritually and physically. I've been preaching out of the New Testament. Let me close with a verse out of the Old Testament, Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness." Isn't that odd how the Old and New Testament agree? He said, "I will behold Thy face in righteousness." And David, what's going to happen when you behold Thy face, His face in righteousness? He said, "Well, then I'll be satisfied because I will awake with Thy likeness." I want to say again, the great thing about a Christian is not what he has, but who he is. You know, you can have great talent, but Paul said that you can give your body to be burned. You can have all knowledge, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. The great thing about a child of God, and the most important thing to him, is to be like Christ. David said, "I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Do you feel that way? You say, "Lord, it's not $1 million I want. I want to be like Christ." That's the only thing that will finally satisfy me when I awake with thy likeness. May God apply his word to all of our hearts.
Okay. Go ahead.